Hello and welcome to Keep On Cyber Trucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk about all things EVs and technology. We have Will, dial up Will, I guess. Chase, my name is Eric. How you guys doing today?
Doing pretty good. Getting some good weather out here. We got some nice chilly and clear skies here in Southern California.
Well, we wouldn't Will, because you're inside now.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
Last week you were outdoors.
It's okay. Last week you didn't even see the sky anyway. So.
You were roughing it. You were roughing it in the cold.
You had some
Wi-Fi issues, unfortunately, but
yep.
Luckily you're back inside. You also mentioned that you fine-tuned your Wi-Fi setup for us. Is that
yes? I went and got a bridge. I was originally going to have it as an extender in the back of the house, but then I was like, wait a second, it's got a LAN port, so why don't I just put it in here and connect it in? And right now, I mean, it's my uploading's wobbling around all over the place, but you know, it's also, yeah, this is also 720p versus 1080, so maybe just they see less of me and it stays up.
I think were you always at 1080 or were you at 4K? Is it Chase with the 4K?
I had the 4K one. Okay. I had a new camera. It's in the box in the garage. My family was here, so they took over this room and there was like three little ones running around in here at all times, so.
Understandable.
Yeah, I've got my office bag. We have a guest room upstairs that I really need to just make into this purpose because this is fun.
Yeah, 100%.
And then I run my OnlyFans the rest of the time, so you know, it's like gotta go on Chatterbait and
shows the feet.
Yeah, them tokens.
Well, I'm not gonna lie, Will. I don't believe you. You gotta show me proof. But
you would be shocked at what people could make money from. I found out recently that my pregnant wife has been getting into is watching people on TikTok. Shuck clams to pull out the pearls.
Oh, I've been having some of my algorithm a little bit.
And people will buy the clams from overseas so they can watch them open them live and be like, ooh, which one did I get?
It's like, one of the nerds that I watch, Pay Many Wubby on Twitch, he does Magic the Gathering buy-ins where, you know, they buy the boxes that are, you know, thousands of dollars. And that's what they do. They do the buy-in and they do a lottery where each little pack from the box is allocated on a spreadsheet. Everybody agrees to it. It's done. Mm-hmm. And then he opens them live and shows them, you know, and you know, somebody could suddenly have a Black Lotus and be like, yo, what's up?
You know what I should do is I should bust out my Pokemon cards, the first generation, first edition Pokemon cards.
Bro.
And do something like that.
If you have any unopened packs, I saw a guy that would take the unopened pack of Pokemon cards and cut them in half and then open it up and see what he just cut. He would be like, oh, I just cut open a $5,000 whatever.
Okay, so, before we jump to what I was going to say, talking about unopened, I don't have unopened Pokemon cards, but I do have the original foil packets. But they're opened, obviously. I took the cards out and I kept the packets for whatever reason. I've always thought, I wonder if that's worth anything. I doubt it.
Maybe. Check eBay.
But here's a funny thing that you talked about him cutting the cards. So that makes me think about going viral, right? So I literally was, you know, what we all do, right? You're on social media and you see things and so it gives you ideas. So there was something online talking about using ChatGPT to come up with video ideas for like content creators. So I said, okay, let me go on ChatGPT and let me see what it's going to tell me. So I just typed in there, come up with a viral Cybertruck video idea. And it literally gave me an idea of, it says, the concept of the video is destroying my Cybertruck. It literally said to get a crane and get a wrecking ball and hit it. Hit the Cybertruck. And so I'm like, this is really the idea that you're giving me?
Yes.
Yes, it'll go viral, but I won't have a Cybertruck anymore.
Yeah, because it's trained on what went viral before. So it's never going to come up with some innovative thing like, you know, somebody would, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the cool thing with some of the people who, what they've done with the Cybertruck. It's like, you know, they come up with art designs and paint them or they do really cool stuff. That those are the original ideas that then all of these AIs are going to be trained on. And that's what they're trained is what looks cool. And you can't get an original idea from it, but it totally makes sense. It's like, get a wrecking ball because, you know, I saw that on one channel and then, just hit your Cybertruck with it.
Destroy it. So I literally typed back and I said, give me another idea that doesn't destroy my Cybertruck.
Yes. Very good. Very good.
But we have some of our friends in chat. Bill, Hugo, Jay, everybody, hello. Thank you guys for always coming back each and every week. I can speak for all three of us. We appreciate it so much. So thank you guys. You make this experience so much better for us. So some news stories and things that came out this week that were pretty interesting that I think we need to talk about and get into. The first one, it's kind of circling around. I think this just came out, I don't know, a couple of days ago, maybe, or maybe yesterday. Here you go. So yeah. Tesla reportedly told Cybertruck production line workers to stay home for 3 days.
Yep.
So apparently workers came into work or they got an email stating that they don't need to come into work Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week. They would report back to work on Friday. So this obviously headline news that, you know, all the cyber stuck guys are running away with, and
no demand.
Yeah. So that's the speculation, right? What's going on? So I wanted to kind of discuss that with you guys, you know, because there's you could go one of two ways. You can go the way of there's no demand. There's nothing to do. And in this article, it does state that they talked to supposedly some workers of the Cybertruck line, and that they've stated that in the past few weeks that when they get to work, that Tesla is telling them that there's really nothing for them to do, to sweep, to clean, to do things other than what their normal duties would be on a daily basis. Yeah. So that would allude to the fact that production has slowed down. There's also speculation that maybe this is just a much needed break. Tesla's sitting there saying, hey, we're going to give you a break and give you 3 days off. You're getting paid for those 3 days, so you're not losing any money. Go ahead and just be with your families. Take the days off. There's also talks that maybe there was some type of production line improvements being put in, maintenance being done. I know in my industry where I work that a lot of companies that manufacture use December as that month to work on their production lines and machines because it's kind of a slower time. And so they just kind of shut down for a week or two and they just do maintenance. So could it be something like that? I don't know if that would be the case, given that they're so early into Cybertruck production. You don't want to slow that down. But if there's some improvements being made, then you would do that. So I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? What say you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a straight up like pausing because of production and demand, because it gives a finite ending. Like, all right, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
But if it was like something where they really need to like slow down production, I think it would be one where they, you know, it would be an indefinite ending. The only layoff, or just like it would be pause, and like you would hear the headline of like Tesla pauses Cybertruck production. But if the fact that it's only 3 days, it could be like you're saying, it could be some like routine maintenance or something. But I do know someone who's there who had to rush over to another factory for something recently, so that could be related. Okay. I don't know what it is, so it's probably not like Cybertruck demand related, but it could be something on the case.
Let's figure this out. All right. So first off, it seems like one of those things that it's begging for. Hang on, let me take it off. It seems like one of those things that immediately and because I was selling a bit. Thank you, YouTube watchers. Just the it's shutting down. Yeah, exactly, buddy. Now we're you see what you're from a Bret Easton Ellis novel. Like it's so awesome. Yeah, not American Psycho. Not you, just saying.
Those are really nice glasses. I wonder where you got them.
Yeah, where did you get those?
Friend named Jay.
Anyway, off topic.
Our good friend Jay.
So, you know, I feel like they've shut down the production line other times. And, you know, it's like it's not something that makes the news. So maybe this one just, you know, snags something and it's easy to blow out of proportion. So it's probably one of those things that, but there's a part of me that's like, why Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? If it was related to the holiday, but you're still giving people time off, first of all, I have heard from people that Tesla is not known to be like the most generous as far as hands-on working with their workers. So I don't see them just coming in being like, yo, I know we got like major holidays slowing down this month, but take a few days off. You all earned it. It's just December doesn't feel like the time for them to go, you know, become the guy on Christmas Carol first thing in the morning. Just
totally
buy us a ham. I think that they had something that they were doing with something very specific. Monday sounds like a good day for them to have everybody come in from the weekend, fresh plan, go over the logistics of whatever they're doing. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday's implementation. And then Friday is the debrief. And we've already sent everybody home for long enough. So why call them back in for Friday? Just to then shut, you know, to have a weekend or, you know, whatever. It just strikes me as something that could be as just innocent as being like, yeah, we found a few optimizations. We're doing them in December because we're already ahead of our inventory. We needed to fix a number of things and now they're going to go much more smoothly. Or it could just be something as simple as they wanted to shut it down to film something. They had high value investors or people coming through that they wanted to be able to lock down the place and give a very personal tour. And that's, I mean, if you're doing that for them, that's exactly it. That's, you know, somebody from somewhere. So if that's what it is, if it's a, you know, a business thing, I mean, you know, it just still makes, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday sounds like what you do when you've been planning something for a while and you just need to make sure Monday, everybody goes home top to bottom. We are ready to do what we're doing. Nobody else is on site.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And yeah, because it's a Cybertruck, that's why it made the headlines.
Yeah, well, of course, anything with the Cybertruck makes headlines, right? Mm-hmm. But that's exactly where I was kind of leaning towards. Obviously, we don't know anything. We're not insiders. We're not talking to anybody there, Chase. But, you know, that's where I would lean, is I think that there's something that they were working on the lines. They were being productive, doing something, and they didn't need the production employees there. And they just said, take 3 days off and we're going to pay you for them. So, you know, I'm all about it. I'm all for it. So yeah, it's something that came across, right? It's news. It's always going to be news. Like Chase said, anything with the Cybertruck, they're going to blow it out of proportion. So,
well, it's also annoying because it's easy to blow out of proportions. Cause it's like, you know, I drive by Tesla Upland and there's always so many trucks sitting there and it's like, yeah, there's a lot probably getting serviced and fixed and whatever, which if you have a lot of one model there that just came out, it's not great that they're all sitting there for service, but you know, it seems like they just everywhere you go by, I feel like there's a fair amount of inventory at the service centers in their parking lots. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We never really got the answer to all those stories from earlier on this year about seeing mall parking lots just filled with overflow Cybertrucks as far as the eye could see or whatever. This is where our PR team comes in handy. Just saying, guys.
Yeah. So, Will, I don't know if you drive on the 60 freeway all that often over here near Ontario, and there's a lot that you can see when you're driving on the 60, when you're driving west.
Really?
There's a fairly large lot filled with R1Ss.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they have the new Rivian Center here in Eastvale. Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming that's probably where they keep their inventory for deliveries. But, I mean, there's well over 100 R1Ss in that lot. And so that's normal, right? I mean, there's Chevy Silverados sitting somewhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of them. Right.
Yeah.
And Ford F-150s and all. I mean, the point of a auto manufacturer is to manufacture autos. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they do that. They put them on lots and the intent is to sell them. And so, I'm not overly worried about demand. You know, there's in the article, it states, you know, that Tesla was touting upwards of 2 million reservations and they've produced about 50,000 and now it's dead. There's no more orders. There's no demand. Well, I mean, that could be the case. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I doubt that's the case. I mean, I talk to people and people are still excited about the truck. People are still ordering the truck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have some of our viewers on the podcast talking about they just ordered one or they're on the fence of ordering one or they're about to order one or they just took delivery of one. So they're being produced, they're being delivered. I just think that this was something that had to do with the production lines.
Yeah. I don't think the speculation is unjustified, though, especially if you put it in tandem with how they came out with the leasing of the Cybertruck and they also lowered the price of the lease. That, I think, is where it's suspicious.
Well, Chase is always, you know, he's like in my mind or something.
I can read your mind.
Yeah. So what I wanted to talk about as well Well, we'll get into that in a little bit, because Bill is in chat, and he was specifically asking if we're going to cover the holiday update. Mm-hmm. And I told him we're going to talk about that next, and I don't want to lie to Bill. So let's go ahead and get into that. But I
around here. We do what Bill says.
Yeah, we're gonna listen to Bill. And so let's go and get into that. But I do want to circle back around and talk about leases and all that, as well as getting a fax.
Maybe.
What's the story?
It's on my ticker tape. No, my onions are down.
Also, who has a fax machine? It's 2024.
Yeah, a thermal printer. Okay. I got a thermal printer, and since I was sitting here, I was going to make a label for my Rivian provided Tesla supercharger access adapter.
Nice.
Hey, you know, he's multitasking.
So but I don't wear glasses. If you guys don't want to see what the hell I got on screen here.
So let's get into the holiday update. There's a lot to unpack here, which is really exciting. First thing is a Tesla app on the Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I know, something that people have wanted for a long time. I'll be honest with you guys. I use an Apple Watch. The only thing I use an Apple Watch for is to tell the time.
Mm-hmm.
I am horrible with that. I know so many people that are so productive with it. They use it for all kinds of different things. I just don't. So this isn't a big deal for me, because I already know I'm never going to use this app to control my Tesla to unlock it or any of that. But it's great. It's great to see that they released it, and it looks pretty cool. It looks like it'll be fairly useful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you guys have smartwatches or Apple Watches?
I used to use an Apple Watch. I'm too in the same boat, right? I don't really use a watch.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was nice, but it's also like, I didn't like it because all my phone notifications were now like strapped to me, and I couldn't get away even if I put my phone away.
Mm. Yeah. I hear you on that.
This is great for people to use the Apple Watch, because I think this has been long awaited.
100%. Yeah, no, it's something that I think there's a lot of people that are excited about this that will use it. So that's a great addition. Something that I really, now this is something that I think is very, very useful.
I need to go on record, though. I am an Android guy.
Okay, that's fine.
So yeah, no, it's good. I think the cool thing is that you can use the watch as the key. I think that's the standout of that app, because there are some people who just literally live their whole day just needing an Apple Watch, and to have the key built in now onto the watch's Bluetooth is awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I agree.
Want that feature on my Android smartwatch.
The fact that now you're able to save dash cam and Sentry Mode clips to your phone.
Legendary.
Is so good. I mean, literally. So my dad recently was driving his Model S, and he put it into full self-driving mode, and the car literally ran into a pole. Which, like, I don't even know how that happened. Conveniently for him. He didn't understand how the dash cam and all that worked, not mm-hmm. realizing that it was just going to delete. Like, it only saves, his stick only saves like an hour or something like that. Mm-hmm. So he went to the next day to try to go find the clip and couldn't find it. He didn't know how to save it by either honking the horn or setting any of that up. So he lost the clip. He didn't have it. He had to get this fixed. But anyways, this would be great if, you know, I could teach them how to use this, but you know, you could literally just go into your phone in the moment, save that as we get another hot off the press.
How loud is that? I'm sorry.
It's pretty loud.
That's the last one.
But he can save the clip onto his phone right there in the moment. I think this is a fantastic addition and something that is very, very much needed. Because, you know, think about it. You get in a car accident and you can immediately save that clip onto your phone. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go get that USB thumb drive or anything.
Yeah, you don't even need to deal with any of that.
Oh, God, yeah. If my folks were driving a Tesla and they were like, we were in an accident, how do I get the thumb drive? I'd be like, it's lost. There's no way I can tell you effectively how to get it and then get the stuff off. There's a tech curve for people. But I will say this. I think that EV manufacturers that charge an internet connectivity fee are going to eventually need to start competing over the services and features that include with that, because the availability of Starlink, the simplicity of just having a mobile hotspot or just your phone act as your mobile internet connection or whatever, they're going to end up putting more features behind what they service they provide. And the fact, I think that somebody should just start making it so that you can automatically upload these to a video locker that Tesla provides you of just specifically, you know, incident footage, not just every drive or everything like that, mm-hmm. not all the dash cam, but the incidents of whatever. And that way it's like, I mean, that's kind of, that would be a great feature, is that if you were in a major accident, the video gets uploaded like instantly to your account. You can set up emergency features behind it. You know, they could be like, oh, it was definitely in an accident. We'll call 911 and they'll send the video to family or somebody so that, mm-hmm. you know, There's just more to be added there, because also Rivian charges $150 for their connectivity, and their dash cam stuff is like barely up to speed with what Tesla's doing with this kind of yeah. stuff. So,
100%.
I just want to know, like, that trash button up in the top right. If
yeah,
if you're viewing it from your phone, can you also delete them remotely from your phone? Because that would be really handy as well.
Mm.
The same mm-hmm. space on that stick.
Based off of this screenshot here, I would say yes, because this looks like they're in the Tesla app,
mm-hmm.
right?
Because it download says the clip and then delete it from the stick, so you yeah. can manage your yeah. space that way.
Exactly, that's mm-hmm. what it looks like. So it seems like it's more of a. That's a great point, Chase. It seems like it's more of like a management mm-hmm. update, not just download to your phone. It's more like you can manage your clips and recordings via the app on the phone. So that's really, really great to see. Also, we have a comment from Bill. Bill has a question, actually. It's not a comment. He's asking, does Will know about the mute button? So, anyways, moving on.
Getting cooked over here. For the printing, yeah, I'm an idiot.
There you go.
So auto shift between drive and reverse on the new Model 3. This is something that I guess, I mean, it's exclusive for now to the Model 3, but when you're, the way they explain it is when you're in a parking lot, you know, you're shifting to get into a parking spot, it'll automatically pretty much shift for you into a reverse or drive. Mm-hmm. A big thing, so pretty much every car I've had that's had this capability, I've subscribed to Sirius XM. Obviously, now with the Cybertruck, I don't have Sirius XM anymore. I canceled it because, you know, I can't have it. In my previous truck, my Ram, I had Sirius XM. And so, and I love the service. I think it's great, especially right now in the holidays. I
love Sirius.
Yeah, right now in the holiday season, they have some really great holiday music channels, which is really cool. So this is coming to Cybertrucks. It's coming to Tesla, and I'm really excited about it. I'm happy because I will subscribe again. So this is something that I think they needed to do a long time ago, and I'm glad they're finally doing it.
Pro tip: if you don't want to buy the subscription, but you have a road trip coming up, call them and tell them you got them, like, their promotion in the mail. They'll easily give you like a free month or two.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
No questions asked. And then you can just cancel it.
That's just the tip with Will. No, with Chase. Next item on the menu is set arrival energy at destination. This is great because, mm-hmm. you know, now you're able to let, it's essentially doing, I think, Chase, you mentioned on your road trip yep. that you were using the yeah. better route planner. Yeah. And one of the cool features on that is that you can set what you want to arrive, how much battery you want to arrive with when you mm-hmm. get to your destination. And so now Tesla's implementing that into their screen and into their system to yeah. where you can go in there and set that, hey, I want to get to my destination at whatever, right? It shows in here.
All the way down to 5.
That's yes. Nice. And so that's really cool because now you don't, it's taking out a lot of that guesswork. It's going to plan which superchargers you want to go to mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. how many stops you need to get to, how long you should charge based off of what you want to end your destination percentage at. So That I think is a really great road trip feature to have.
Totally.
Yeah, next thing.
Connected though. Did we send the article before about like they rehired the entire the supercharging team?
No, I haven't seen
it. No, we didn't.
Oh crap. Okay. I might have blown the lead then, but yeah, I could have sworn that I was reading somewhere. I thought I had sent it to you guys, but yeah, it was something that they brought back on the supercharging team. Maybe I was wrong.
I haven't seen
this.
That.
This is nice.
The next thing is search a long route with estimated detour time. So once again, this is another great thing, something that I would use a lot. There's so many times that I'm going somewhere, I'm with my family, and we're talking about some pit stops or things, places we want to go. And you can now kind of enter in all that stuff seamlessly, and it's going to give you some extra, information as far as detour times, and you could search along your route. So that's really cool. So this update, as you guys can see, the theme is kind of like they're really giving us some extra features into the maps. Another one is precipitation and weather at destination, which is cool. So now there's going to be an extra little filter that you can toggle, which you can see here. There's a little cloud that you can press. That would have been, well, but then again, you were in your Rivian, so. But yes, yes, if you were in the Cybertruck and this was out, yes, this would have been very helpful. So, and this is going to be great for me because, you know, when I go camping or I'm going to, somewhere fairly far, I can see what the weather is going to look like as I get there. And as you can see at the bottom, there's this slider that it looks like you'll be able to move to show, at different times what the weather's going to be looking like. I love this addition to the map and center screen. So I think that's going to be a cool update as well. A safety update is a rear cross traffic alert, especially for the Cybertruck, because we don't have sensors. Everything's camera based, and now we're going to have the ability to where the car will be able to see if there's cars or people or whatever behind you moving around, and give you some type of a audible alert and let you know that there's a little leprechaun there. You don't want to hit them.
Some may say that this is like finally like. Like my 2020 Kia has this, like, by default.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's a lot of that, right? Especially with the Cybertruck, it being so new. But this is, there's things like this that you kind of go, why wasn't this here a long time ago? But,
right.
Excited to get them.
Isn't the answer to that, it's like, yeah, but does your Kia do that using a visual input?
Yeah.
Because like, this is what this is doing. It's using video to make decisions about what it's warning you about versus Kia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could put a proximity sensor and it's like, yeah, if number gets shorter, it's getting closer.
Well, some of the Teslas, don't they have proximity sensors?
Like the older ones.
The bumper?
Or most of them do, yes. It's the Cybertruck and...
Cybertruck didn't.
Is it the new S and X? Do they have a camera-based system as well? Or do they have sensors? Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's probably where the delay came from.
I thought they got rid of all the sensors on them. I thought they were funneling all through visual.
Yeah, that's where they're moving. But yes, all the older Teslas have sensors.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't remember if there was a conspiracy theory, but people were like, yeah, after a point, though, like, when I had a 2017 Model X, at a point they would have, like, because they stopped doing the sensors, and eventually they were like, did they cut the input feed? Or do they even use it as a part of the system? Or are they just... essentially don't regard what's coming in from that funnel, everything through visual.
That's what they want to do. They want everything to be visual.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some updates and improvements with TuneIn. Not really much to discuss there. Scheduled light show. This is something that could be useful. So if people have seen one of Brian was a guest of ours a few weeks back when he scheduled a Cyber Odyssey. We all went out. There was 19, I think, Cybertrucks, and we did a light show. Well, the light show ended up being a shit show, to be honest with you. It was tough to get everybody to synchronize, right? Mm-hmm. There was always one guy that couldn't get it right, right? And so this would make that much easier, right? Everybody could kind of huddle up. You go on your phone and you can schedule now a light show through your app, as opposed to having to get inside the cab of your truck or vehicle and have to schedule it that way.
This seems like a dev option that was always in there for the developers who had a different version in the firmware in their cars. Because when they go and do those, like the videos of all of them synced up, usually there's a Tesla guy there syncing them all up and triggering it at exact right time so that they do it together. This just seems like a feature that they're like, all right, let's just give it to people to let them do it so they can do their own little fancy lineup of whatevers.
Yeah. You know, so one of my buddies, Joe, from the Tesla Owner Club, San Joaquin Valley, I know he messaged in our chat and said that this is something that he's been lobbying for, because when he goes to a lot of events, they do these light shows and it's always a pain in the ass. So
this is a
great little update. New game, Boomerang Foo. There's a new game for the Tesla. Another update is Fart When Someone Sits. So everybody's familiar with the Fart app
game. That's amazing.
That they have in the center screen. And
if you have kids, you need to be using the Fart Emissions button. But that is classic.
But the issue is that it's going to be using like the sensor that knows if you're sitting in the seat, right?
Yes.
I kept constantly when I would go pick up like some like takeout or Indian food, like in like big bags of food that's hot, I put it in the seat next to me and I start driving down the road, and like sure enough it's like your passenger doesn't have your seatbelt on.
Yeah.
So now I'm just gonna, like, it would be like putting down the food and it'd be like,
yeah, well, you could definitely turn it on and off, but yes, I what you're saying, it's gonna
it's a bug they still haven't fixed as far as I know.
Yeah, so that's a new update. Another thing that I'm really looking forward to is control seats from the screen. So once again, Cybertruck's a little bit bigger vehicle, and there's times, especially the thing that comes to my mind is my son, he plays travel basketball and he's always has a basketball in the car, and the basketball sometimes gets stuck underneath the seats. And there's times where I want to dislodge it and I got to move the seat. So I'm reaching over and I'm trying to adjust the seats while the passenger seat to get it loose. And this would be something that'd be much easier. You can just go into the center screen and you can adjust the seats. Something that they talk about here is how much are we going to be able to do? Is it just going to be the passenger seat just moving it forward and back, tilting it? Are we going to be able to control other things? Who knows? But it's pretty cool that we'll be able to control seats from the center screen.
Can I program them so that it like makes the seat shake as you ride around? So, you know.
You want some gyration?
Yeah.
There goes his OnlyFans.
Starts playing music while you read it?
Hell yeah. No, so imagine you're just driving down like a straightaway road and your seat's just bouncing all over the place. Like a Leslie Nielsen movie, I guess.
This is something that I kind of scratched my head a little bit. It's their traffic along route no longer requires premium. So they're taking a feature out of premium, which is great, right? I mean, let's get rid of premium altogether because you have to pay for that. But, you know, I think this is something that makes paying for premium, you know, almost like a necessity for me. I like to see the traffic and know if I need to go a different route. And if they're taking that out of premium, then I kind of sit there and go, do I need premium? So, but it's great because now it potentially saves some people money because, you know, you may not need it. But you know, I don't know if they're just going to do away with premium at some point.
I could have sworn there was a point that, you know, when Rivian introduced their Connect Plus this year and told everybody it was $150 a year, one of the things that I think was originally considered that was going to be paywalled was the traffic along the route. So, but somebody had pointed out that, I don't know, it's still something more efficient. It's like, you know, giving people the right data that, you know, helps everybody. And yeah, all the other, you know, it I don't know, it costs nothing. It's one of those things like back when you used to pay for text messages. It costs absolutely nothing. Why are we charging for this?
Yeah.
Just making the traffic works, honestly.
Yeah, exactly.
which honestly, yeah, Rivian's navigation alone, I will say, is lacking.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, a lot of the software in the truck, in the driver's experience, yeah. Mm-hmm. Needs attention.
Another more stuff that's in here is improvements to Sentry mode. This, I think, is really cool. So as of right now, you get alerts on your phone if Sentry mode senses or triggers gets triggered. But something that they're implementing and adding is if someone was to pull on the door handle, essentially trying to figure out if they can open your vehicle, that's going to now alert you and let you know that someone's essentially messing with your vehicle. So I think that's a really cool safety feature and something that, you know, is needed, honestly. Another thing that I think is really cool, and it has been frustrating for me on some road trips, is the fact that now they're adding, when you get to a supercharger, it's going to tell you which stalls are out of service. I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I've gone to some superchargers and I pull up, I back in, I grab the thing, and then it doesn't work. And usually you kind of know which one that is when you get to a supercharger and there's one or two stalls empty and there's still a line, you know, and it's, you know, you back in and everyone's looking at you going, yeah, you're going to find out. And so now this is something that's great. They're going to let you know on your center screen, hey, stalls, whatever, are out of service.
Yeah, that's great. Because as using a supercharger now as a non-Tesla owner, like, you can see in the app directly, like, okay, these ones are out of service, and you know that way as well. But that kind of closed the loop because, yeah, you never knew inside of the Tesla if you were at a good stall or not.
I have a story where I went to Vegas one time, and I went to Eddie's World, and I got to the supercharger and more than half of them were out of service and they were taped off. Actually, they had caution tape. So they were taped off, which is great. So you knew, but in the app or on the screen, it didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it was frustrating because we had to wait, and I would have just went to a different supercharger if I would have known that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I think is very much needed. Vehicle to fleet communication. So this, it says dynamic routing around road closures, which displays them along an affected route when they are detected by the fleet. So once again, the fleet, the vehicles, Teslas are talking to each other and giving information, and that's going to help the driver experience and help.
That was originally what Waze. That was their whole thing. Or sorry, Waze, the app.
Yeah, Waze.
Yeah, the nav app. That was their whole thing. It was crowdsourced information. So if somebody 2 miles ahead of you, you know, saw, was sitting flat, it would direct everybody around you. So
exactly. So it's coming. You know, it's slowly but surely, it's all coming. Energy app for the Model S and X and Cybertruck. So this is something that I've kind of talked about in some videos as far as, especially for me now, I have so many different aftermarket parts on my Cybertruck. I just literally did a video, I think that I released it yesterday, talking about some of my overlanding camping build. You know, I have the Falcon Wild Peak AT4W tires. I have KMC wheels. I have the Cybertruck Co. bed rack.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes have my rooftop tent on my truck. I don't have it right now because I took it off to save energy and efficiency. But I have the running boards. I have all kinds of things. And so my efficiency is not what it used to be, obviously. And so now there's going to be the consumption tab on the center screen, which is going to give me more information as far as my consumption and what my expected range is going to be and those type of things. And so that is something that is huge for me because more information is better for myself because I'm not getting 318 or 320 or 310, whatever they're saying now is the estimated range on the Cybertruck. I'm not getting that anymore. I'm in the 200s. So, that is something that would be very, very useful for myself.
Yeah, selectable time period is the most important thing where you can just do a quick test, change the variables, do another quick test. I mean, the simplest thing would be like, okay, if someone is really on the fence of using their aero caps or not, easy thing. All right, go, you know, take them off, drive around the block, yeah. go on the highway, come back, put them back on, do it again. In under an hour, you know exactly your answer without having
exactly.
to like, watch three guys on a podcast tell you what the answer is, because we all already know.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about, because I get that question a lot. I get so many questions on my
what is going on? Is he like flying a plane?
But you know, I get a lot of questions and comments that are asking, you know, what's your range? You know, I got mm-hmm. a comment today on my video for my running boards, like, what's the range hit? And I responded saying, I can't even answer that anymore, because I got so much crap on my truck that my range has gone down the toilet because I have yeah. so much on it. And, you know, I don't, you know, it's, I'm constantly adding things that I have no idea anymore. But I know what I, when I'm fully loaded, I know what it is, but I, you know, adding this mm-hmm. or that, it's hard to say.
What are the ranges on that Irvine police vehicle?
I'd be curious to know that.
Yeah.
You know, let me go to Irvine and see if I could get pulled over by one of them and then.
Please do.
Start asking them questions.
Tell the officer. No. Can I request a different officer? Can you bring the Cybertruck one?
Yeah. Please bring the Cybertruck.
Will's like, you okay?
I'm here. I was eating popcorn. My kids made me popcorn, so I decided to eat it.
You're breathing pretty hard over there.
Yeah, well, it was good back the popcorn, but it's like I had it on mute, but then I just see in the camera just me cramming popcorn in my mouth. So I was like, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna mute my face too.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Another FSD upgrade or update addition to, I guess, is now when you're in FSD, you're getting to your destination, it will now attempt to park itself at the destination, which is really, really cool. It says on here that it appears that the vehicle will navigate to the pin on the map and then scan for parking spots nearby. That is cool. That is, I would really love to test that and see how that works, because that is now literally point A to point B full, right? Like it's literally taking you from your garage to your parking spot at a shopping center totally. Wherever you're going. So that I think is cool. The ability to lower music while in reverse.
I thought I was the only one, but apparently it's a thing.
What? What'd you say?
The fact that like if you're like getting close to your destination, you're going in reverse or something, you lower the music. You know, because you can see better apparently if the music is lower.
Yes. Well, I was gonna say is that this is a safety thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lower the music because you're in reverse. I mean, ultimately, I think what it is if someone honks at you or something, it's easier to hear.
That makes sense.
Your visibility is already limited. You know, they're lowering the music. They're alerting you now because of this update. You know, there's some alerts now when you're backing out. So all safety things. But yeah, I mm-hmm. see your point of, yeah, the music is hindering our vision. So some rear screen improvements, which is cool. You have some ability to control the rear screen, which is super cool. I know down here they're going to talk about it too.
Wait, turn on adding
the ability to play games, which I have two kids. I think that'll be cool. Nice. They'll love that. Santa. I don't know why my screen's
obvious.
Yeah. Santa or Optimus. But you know, okay. I'm gonna go on to a little thing here. They're putting a cyber truck sled in here. You have Optimus in here. Why wouldn't they? They're already paying the big bucks. Why wouldn't they put Kim Kardashian in here next to them?
Fair.
She agreed to one appearance.
I know we talked about her a lot on here.
And it was in her shapewear.
I'm not a fan. And so but I think that would have been the Easter egg of all Easter eggs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Big one. I know Bill was talking about it. This was one of the reasons why he wanted us to talk about the update. Is the zoom in and zoom out on the rear camera. This is huge. This is something that I talked about in multiple videos, in my review video of the Cybertruck, in tow videos of the Cybertruck. And the big reason is being able to zoom in on the camera when I'm hitching up. Mm-hmm. That is huge. The screen, it was too far zoomed out. in my personal opinion, when I'm backing in and trying to hitch up my trailer to the truck and having the ability to pinch zoom or zoom in and out, I think is huge. Most trucks that I've driven in the past automatically zoom in when you're backing up, or you have the very quick ability to just hit one button and it zooms in. It's like a trailer thing, right? And you're able to zoom in to hitch up. And so now they finally have this. Unfortunately, I'm not doing as much towing because of my whole rooftop tent setup, but I think this is huge. I think this is great. Something that was very, very, very much needed. So I'm glad that they're doing that now. Next thing is custom wraps. You know, a few months ago, they gave you the ability to change the color of your truck, but now you can do a custom wrap on your truck that's on the center screen, which is great. There's also, I'm going to stop sharing this screen real quick because I came across this as well. Somebody in the Cybertruck forums came up with a way to like upload your custom wrap. Let me see. Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that?
Let's see if I could.
Bitcoin just hit 100,000, by the way.
God damn it.
Don't tell me that. I don't know why my thing is running slow, but it's coming. It's coming, guys. Here we go. So for anybody that's interested, you could follow this link, I guess, here, and you can do a custom wrap for your Cybertruck.
Oh, yeah. This is up
kind of gives you a whole guideline and some, instructions on how to do that. So I can leave this. I'll leave this link in the description below for anybody that's watching this after the live showing. But that's pretty cool. The fact that you're able to now, whatever your custom wrap is, you can put it on your center screen. I think that's super cool.
So we call it UV map for the texture.
See?
So you can color. You can basically literally have your kid like paint on it on this texture. Upload that texture and then have your car look like whatever you want. The next thing we call that is the TTP, because this obviously will fail that if you can upload your own custom texture. It's the time to penis, and that's not going to be that very long. Because if you can upload your own custom rep, someone's going to abuse it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have Kim Kardashian's face all over it.
There you go. Yeah.
Just you wait.
That would be a funny thing to just do.
Coming to a Jeremy video near you.
There you go. Another thing that you can do is a license plate visualization. So now you're able to do some funny stuff in there as well.
Cool.
And that's another cool. So they're just allowing people to customize the virtual Cybertruck on their center screen to make it personalized. So that's awesome. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, that's it. That's everything. That's cool. A big one. It's a big holiday.
Yeah, like that's it. And like, oh yeah, that was ever. I mean, yeah. As a longtime Tesla watcher and fan, I'm telling you, this is the holiday update we have been promised since before, like, you know, before 2020, before. And yeah, like this is the, because every year it was a holiday update coming and it would be like, oh, it's going to be lit. And it was like, you know, oh, the car sings a song to you or you know, something Christmas themed or something like that. This is an amazing holiday update. Holla.
Yeah, this is something that I'm excited about. I can't wait for my truck to actually get all these features. It's big. It's a big one. My computer is running slow.
Tesla saw Rivian up show them with the Halloween update, and they're like, all right, hold my beer.
They're like, send it. It could be a DeLorean. We have an actual truck that looks like a DeLorean.
There was somebody that made a comment. LJ says that with the rear screen zooming in, that they need to do that with the front camera as well.
Oh yeah,
that would be actually a great addition as well.
Even while driving, there's certain cases where you're like, is that a cop? Oh yeah, that's it. I know you're getting it.
You blipped out there for a second, and then you came back. Yeah.
No. Oh, no.
Are we still online? Are we still live?
Still live on X. It looks like.
Okay.
There we go.
Hey, you back.
We're here. Anyways, sorry. Had a little, my computer's like melting down. Anyways, wanted to talk about some pretty big news. Cybertruck now, they're really trying to get Will and Chase back into the Cybertruck family.
Dude.
You can now get a Cybertruck for $899 on a lease. That's which is
easy.
You know,
It's my microphone, so I won't do it. But if one of those instances where like a podcaster would really dramatically push the microphone away, this is me right now.
I mean, $899. We've talked about it in past episodes. You know, Cybertruck payments. You know, I mean, it's all relative, right? It all depends on your interest rate. All depends on how much you put down. But you know, they're up there. It's an expensive car, but $899. I mean, they were $1,000, right? $999 just a few weeks ago, and now it's $899. They're really pushing, you know, trying to get people that are on the fence to just pull the trigger, trying to get Chase and Will back into the family. And
playing dirty.
I know it's
playing
it's,
dirty.
Yeah, it's tempting at that.
Just you wait
at that price point.
I wonder how many miles. So it's the 10,000 miles a year. You got to do 7,500 down. So they would effectively keep.
What?
They would get
7,500 down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, right underneath any Cyber Boost. Yeah, two rows. Well, 7,500 down, 36 months. And it's a lease. So I got to wonder if they take the rebate from you, if that's part of the lease agreement.
Yeah, if you take away the down payment, it goes up to, balloons up to, $1,235.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, still that's cheaper than what a loan payment would be, or at least what ours was. So,
yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, but it's also a 3-year agreement, or?
It's a 3-year. Yeah. 3-year.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Another thing that I kind of want to talk about, because I was in here and I was messing around, right? I was just kind of looking at stuff. I think if we do this, it lowers the payment. Yeah, look, now we're at $1,142. See that?
How much is that interior?
$2,000. So that's something I want to talk about. What was the, you know, when we first started the podcast, we were talking about Foundation Series. Is it worth it? We're trying to, you know, we're doing the calculations of what are we getting? How much is that going to cost? You know, speculating, what is the white interior going to cost? What are the all-terrain tires going to cost? Well, now we have all those numbers. So I did the math. It comes out to $16,660. We pay $20,000 for foundation. So are the badging and lower VIN numbers worth the, you know, $3,500? You know, right. I don't know. But, you know, it's closer to the $20,000 than, you know, I think what some people were speculating.
I think that the ship has sailed on a fair amount of speculation on, you know, collectability or whatever. And I mean, that's more of a historical thing that gets written years from now. But I think that the thing that always gets left out of this, and it's something that I always keep in mind as somebody, it's like, you know, you constantly have buyer's remorse if you constantly look at what the new price is for the thing and you forget the time that you've spent with the thing and what that value is worth on a day-to-day basis. And if you quantify that properly, it, you know, because if it was sitting in the driveway, you're not driving it, you're not enjoying it. That's one thing. But it's like, you know, when we got our trucks early, if you've had it for that long, you've had that level of enjoyment, that level of education, hands-on learning with something. At a certain point, you got to decide, like, moving forward, you know, and be like, all right, if I was going to go test drive this right now, how much would I be willing to pay? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, $900 a month for the lease on it is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
For the driving experience of the Cybertruck.
100%.
And the utility of it and everything like that. But just that's one of the things that I genuinely miss about my Cybertruck was just – it was so much fun to drive. That, you know, the steer-by-wire, like, is future driving. It's
very much
been awesome, you know.
Even so much so that, like, we'll probably – there's a lot of, like, drive-through Christmas lights down here, especially, like, on the Circle of the Americas, the big Formula One track, where you can drive through the Christmas lights and then take a lap around the track and then finish through the Christmas lights. It's really cool.
But that's awesome.
I told my son, I was like, he's 2.5. I was like, should we get a Cybertruck to do it? And he's like, yes. Yes, thank you, Daddy. Let's get a Cybertruck for it. And I'm like, yeah. So yeah, we'll probably rent one on Turo because it's cheap now.
It is cheaper.
That's about $140.
No, thank
you. Real quick, Bill's asking, when are we getting the update? Tesla did state that update would be being pushed out next week.
Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to relay that information. But yeah, $899. I mean, yeah, it's $7,500 down payment. I mean, but at $899, people said you can't beat it for the driving experience that you're going to gain. But one thing I want to talk about, though, that I noticed when I was doing my calculations, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going through all of the options here. And range extender is still here, estimated $16,000, which is still, my gosh. Yeah. But
click it. What does it do?
Well, you can't click on, oh, right here.
No, not to learn more, but the click to add it, like the reserve today.
Yeah. Well, you can add it to your order, and you need to give them an extra $2,000 that's non-refundable. But here's the thing. Production plan to begin mid-2025. So it was supposed to be production at the end of 2024. So roughly 6 month delay there. The estimated range for the all season tires, 325. And they're saying you're going to get 100 or 445 estimated miles with the range extender. So that's what, 120?
Or 120.
Yeah. It's like almost a third more.
So, but a third more for $16,000. I don't know. I keep saying that I probably will end up doing it. But man, I feel like it's just getting worse and worse every time I look at this thing.
Yeah, because it was touted to be up to 500.
I think there
was kind of the implied
one. Exactly.
I think when I was younger, I used to, like, you think about cars, you know, back from, I don't know, 80s, 90s, early 2000s. It's like mechanically, you saw small minor improvements that helped to dictate some of the value in retrospect. But computers, on the other hand, constantly are just making everything obsolete 6 months later, 4 months later, whatever. It's just insane. And I think that this is going to be something we're going to start seeing in the electrical vehicle market. Yeah, you know, you've got this range extender. You got to literally pay $16,000 more on an $8,000 car to make it have the range of, how much is a Rivian? Like, that's becomes a part of the logic now. The way that they're engineering the battery packs and squeezing out every last mile out of these batteries, we're gonna start seeing some serious competition when suddenly a car comes out and they're like, "Yo, 800 miles on one battery, what's up?" That's gonna be a big day. Yeah. Like, that's gonna be, what the hell did they do? Why am I driving this shitbox that I can barely, you know, what, you know. It's just interesting to see as it develops, because I think that this is going to start speeding up dramatically.
I hope so. I hope so, because that's something that I've seen enough YouTube videos or people talk about it, and they go, I don't know, the days of, you know, are there really going to be 1,000 mile range on the EV? I mean, I would hope so, right? At some point. Yeah, hopefully that those days are sometime in the near future, as opposed to a dream.
I think that vehicles, as electric vehicles go, they have a lot of space inside the car, inside the chassis of what they've designed. There's a lot of space that's air. I mean, yeah, you need crumple zones, and you can't compromise that with trying to add dense energy products into those spaces. But I think that, you know, we've done really well with this whole idea of an entire massive battery sled underneath the vehicle. What's next? You know, I thought I had read that China is now starting to work on electric vehicles that use batteries as blades that literally just insert in and then, you know, you go, and it's in its sizable shape and whatever. This is cool stuff to see the way that they're going to innovate with it, because all we've ever messed around with is solid fuel and how to keep it from blowing up, but how to make it blow up in a way that moves you forward. Now we're, you know, into this, hey, we're using electricity to spin rotors and all this stuff. Let's see how crazy we can get with it. And this is the beginning of some cool technology. I just love that EVs are finally starting to be explored this way. Globally.
Well, is a lack of is increased range a lack of space, or is it a monetary issue?
I think that there's a, you know, and when you're building something with the cost of goods as it is now, and as whatever you can lock in for contracts for the next few years, so you have a chance to make a good run at it. And I think that, you know, Every you know, lithium mining is only this much, and there are only so many battery manufacturers, dictates the cost of a battery. So that's a fixed cost. Now it becomes a matrix of how do we keep adding batteries to the car and weighing it down, or do we use some of those batteries for other vehicles and sell those or whatever? So I think that it's just a, you know, a cost analysis where there's just a couple of marks on there where you're like, all right, if we're going to make a Tri-Motor or a Cyber Beast or whatever it is, this is how much it's going to cost to build. This is how long we can do it for. And then if they were to try and engineer it just 4 years later, there's a good chance that if the battery prices go up like we saw in 2020 or start to drop after, you know, there's apparently enormous I think they said there was like an enormous lithium discovery in like Arkansas or something like that, somewhere, you know, somewhere else, somewhere in the U.S. It was like 7 million batteries worth of lithium. So, I mean, you know, if when you try to engineer the next vehicle like that, there may be some newer technology, some newer discovery, some efficiency ways that they've started to implement. So I think that we're kind of locked in by our technology and our costs for what things cost right now. You know, when if you know, if there's a huge lithium boom and we're, you know, the batteries are lasting longer and they figure out a way to recycle them effectively and recover the lithium and build something new with it again, I mean, close that loop, that'll be awesome. But it should see a lowering of costs, but we'll see what happens there.
I think in time.
Even those batteries that were like almost flat, you can almost take up no space. If you pack those in even tighter, you could in theory, make bigger batteries.
I mean, you know, there's the, you know, the way that you design the vehicle, you've got space underneath the seats that isn't the battery, but other aspects of the car. And the more that we implement, you know, engineering design into it, somebody might be like, you know, guys, we're literally leaving like 2 kilograms worth of lithium space out. And we could put them in spaces in the car that are still within a firewall. It would just be require a little bit more niche manufacturing versus, hey, we built the entire battery sled here, drop it into the car. Okay, build the rest of it. Like that kind of nuance thing. That was, I think that that was what they were playing with the structural battery designs with the 4680s. And now down the road, you're like, yeah, you still got some space left that you could possibly, you know, like in this, I don't know, wherever you could put it, I wouldn't say the seat, but that was stupid.
Well, we'll see. It's getting better and better over time, and you know, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Come on, you guys remember AA batteries. We used to live on AA batteries. Game Gear, Game Boys, like, you know, Mini Disc Player, maybe even older, but yeah, CD Discmans or whatever. Like the energy density of the things that we were able to do with the things that were portable with us was so minimal, and it's leapt so far ahead, and now we're building cars with this stuff. And it's like, what's the next discovery? What's the next, you know, I think that there's already been a few really big possible discoveries that they can scale out like this. But I mean, these are great times for portability and transportation using these kind of batteries.
100%. Getting into the lease again, going kind of circling back around to that, you know, You can get a Cybertruck for $899 with $7,500 down, or one thing that Chase came across this past week was you can get a Ford F1 Lightning XLT for $192 a month. I'm going to say that again.
That's insane.
$92 a month.
That's
Jesus. That is. And for. And I think that this is also like, you know, per your market, somebody pulls up this thing because somebody was living somewhere where they could, you know, the market allowed that. I did it here where I live in Southern California, and I had $370 or something like that for 36 months and basically like $6,000 down as well. So I was like, oh my God, it is real. You can go and find it.
Yeah. It's let me pull up your the one that you shared with us, the one that you found.
Yeah, because I was like, this is insane, like 6,000 down. But if you do, well, wait, yeah, you're saying like in your market, even more down. So when we almost,
but I think also this shows a Super Crew XLT 4x4. I don't know if that means anything with the Ford Lightning. That could be some extra features. I don't know.
Whatever 5.
It actually didn't look like it was like the top of the line. It looked like, I think, the XLT. I don't think that it was like their big mamma jamma.
But I mean, nonetheless, $192. Even at $400, you're talking about half.
It's crazy.
Half of the Cybertruck.
Like I looked, I told you guys as soon as I found this. Like I looked to see if I could go just lease a gas vehicle and a Ford F-150 2024 XLT. Leasing is still like $650. It doesn't make any sense. $192. I went and I was like, okay, well, what if we don't put 6,000 down? Let's say we put 3,000 down. It's still like 360.
Yeah.
360 a month. That's like almost what we. Oh, it's actually cheaper than what we pay for a loan for a, you know, a used Kia.
Yeah.
We live in strange times, my friends. We live in strange times.
That's 12,000 miles a year too. That's not even like a 10-5 kind of deal.
Yeah, this is. I mean, if you have $6,000 willing to put down on a truck, and you want any truck, and it doesn't matter, you just want a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Will?
What?
You have some static.
I muted for a second because I couldn't tell if my side tone was.
Yeah, you're having some static. Yeah,
yours feedback. Or mine. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, $200-$300 for a brand new anything, right? Is crazy.
So here's a crazy idea. So if you live off of the grid and you're thinking about getting a power wall or a battery backup system or something like that, don't. Just lease this thing. Park it on the side of your freaking house and just hook it up and forget you even have it there. You're paying the cheapest rental on 75 kilowatt hours of battery or 100 or whatever it is. That thing could run you off grid for like 3 or 4 days. That thing would probably keep your homestead running. Actually, way longer than 3 or 4 days. What am I talking about? What's up?
I don't know if you want to bring that graphic back up. It includes the home share.
It does. Hardware. It includes the home share hardware, and I think installation, I think, is a part of that.
Give me 1 second.
Or whatever.
That's insane. Like, I think this is probably the biggest like jab at the Cybertruck that we've seen to date.
Yeah. Yeah. Complimentary home charger and standard installation.
Exactly.
That's wild. Sorry. Complimentary home charger. So this is probably just the charging.
Yeah, that's not the home. No.
Yeah,
not
but
the
don't home
share.
No. Oh yeah, the home share true. Okay, the home share. Yeah. So then you got to buy more. So,
free charger. Which I mean, if you have,
36 months and what is it, 15? Mm-hmm. Like I think the home charger. Or what is Ford's price for their vehicle to house charging system thing? Because yeah, you have to have something installed in your house. Tesla, similar way. Yeah. Tesla Energy Gateway has to be involved for the power share.
Yeah, you do.
But like whatever that cost is, I mean, you know, roll that into 36 months, you're still coming out like what, $200-$300 a month? I mean, that's still cheaper than a Powerwall payment.
It's definitely not bad. Real quick, there was a comment from RP714 in the chat. He says, don't think you need more battery, just faster charging. I get that point. You're not wrong. Faster charging, once the V4 superchargers are fully unlocked and released, Cybertrucks are going to increase their speeds dramatically. But this is what I would say. For someone like myself who tows a travel trailer and or now have my rooftop tent and I have my bed rack tires, everything I explained earlier, and my range is taking a hit. Yeah, the faster charging is nice and it would help tremendously. But extra range is in my personal opinion, is needed on trucks. Because you're doing truck things, or you should be doing truck things, right? And so what I would say is, if I had a bigger battery, that means I can go on longer trips. That means I can drive further. I can go take my kids.
Truck stuff.
Yeah, I could take my kids to further, you know, farther destinations.
Yeah,
I did some camping recently out in the desert. And one of the things that I was watching was, because I have my fridge, my ice cold fridge in the bed of the truck, and that's was plugged in and powered the whole weekend, you know, what kind of juice was that sucking out of the Cybertruck? And so if I have more juice, I can stay longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, 100% for just daily driving, I 100% agree that just faster charging would be great. I think faster charging plus a bigger battery for me is something that I really am looking for. So
if only you could test a certain amount of time for your power consumption when you have that refrigerator plugged in.
Coming soon. I think that
he's literally, yeah, it's the time honored question of, you know, with the batteries, what do you need? More range while you're carrying more grams of lithium, more electrical infrastructure around it to make it work. So eventually you're just driving like a 10,000 pound behemoth.
Well,
and, you know, you're trying to eke every mile out of it versus an economy of, well, if you could charge it faster. And I think that it's not unreasonable to think that there will be a day when we can have some real panache into the engineering of it and have super fast charging of ultra long range batteries.
That's what I'm
because I think that we're just discovering the scale of what's possible. And, you know, we kind of know what's possible with a combustion engine at its most optimized form in a functional frame that can service a consumer. It's always going to look a certain way. It's always going to have certain amenities or expectations. And the simple fact is you're going to have to move 5,000 pounds, X number of miles based on this much solid fuel that we know how much it is. We're just starting to discover about the possibility of mobile charging. Like how do they do the highway that does conductive charging as you drive over it? Is there a market for something that's like you drive through a tunnel and a part of your car touches an actual wire that charges it while it's driving, like, you know, Super Mario Kart meets the tram that charges from the cables above it. There's just a lot of room for discovery because it's not delivering a solid fuel. It's just delivering charge. So we've got a lot to learn about what's possible because I feel like there could easily be a time when we're going to be looking at this stuff and being like, yeah, I remember when we could only do like 300 miles. Now the car can literally drive to New York and back on the same battery. Like, who knows? But also, I was going to say that there are people who own or are interested in cars who aren't sold on EVs because they already own a car and they live in places that they drive really far distances. And that's just a part of their life. It's just, you know, getting to next major town or something is just hundreds of miles or you know, over 100 miles or several hundred miles to see their kids or their grandkids or something like that. They want something that can make that entire drive if they're going to buy something new. Because they already know what the gas car is. They already know what it costs, whatever it is. If you're going to sell them on an EV, it better be really impressive to be like, hey, you can totally drive 800 miles on this car, on this one charge. That would get that dad from somewhere in Oklahoma to be like, now we're talking. Yeah. Now we're onto something.
I think that's what Scout is looking to do. Like we were looking at that's kind of the other thing that it got me kind of considering like, well, like, because I would like to get another truck. Like, long term, I want to be in an EV truck, whether that's, you know, the Cybertruck or GMC Denali EV or the Scout is another great one that they're touting, you know, up to 500 miles of range because they also have a gas generator on board to kind of generate and get you up, you know, past that.
Which is the same model. Threshold. Sorry to interrupt you, but that's the same model that Ram is doing. Ram's upcoming EV is going to have a diesel generator inside as well.
See? And that's the funniest thing. That's my favorite thing to throw in people's faces when they get real smug about EVs. They're like, it's just charging from a coal plant or it's charging from a gas generator. You know, most towns run on gas generators. But like, yeah. And they did studies where literally charging an EV from a diesel generator sitting in your driveway is more efficient at the miles you drive in that car than using that same diesel gas in a vehicle to drive that distance. And unleaded is way below that efficiency transfer. So it's like, you know, when you look at hybrids, they're a gas powered engine with a battery, you know, backup or whatever. Now we're getting electric vehicles that have the just a friggin' generator on board that just charges the battery. That's its job. And it's kind of brilliant for the infrastructure we have and where we're at. And it's like, I would love to know if there's some sort of an efficient carbon capture system on the generator. Is it a way to rethink the exhaust because it doesn't, you know, changing the exhaust doesn't change the exhaust pressure, which doesn't change the vehicle's capability and acceleration. It's just cool. We're living cool times for this stuff.
I've joked since I put money down for the CT back in 2019 that I'm like, okay, this is a new type of utility EV vehicle. It's got a bed. It's a truck. So I could easily just throw a gas generator in the back of the truck and then have almost infinite miles if I really needed it. And then, because I'm like, I'm not going to take a Model Y and put a gas generator in the back because that's just kind of clunky, but you could technically.
RP714, literally having that conversation in chat, he says that he towed his travel trailer with the Cybertruck and he took a generator with him on his camping trip so that way he can refuel.
Yeah.
And charge his Cybertruck. And I told him I have a generator and I haven't needed to do that, but I have a generator with me in case I need to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't do cool stuff outside, but you know, like if the apocalypse comes, I've got a gas generator. I've got a tri-fuel generator with multiple power outlets, which include 220. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, cool. I can just at least charge my car at a reasonable period of time while I'm fleeing the zombie apocalypse or whatever, if there's still fuel around, but we'll see.
Yeah. And hopefully you find a way to do solar. Like we talked about that, like solar panel array that you can well, flip out. Yeah. I think it's pretty
big. I want to see is a company make like Anchor, EcoFlow, some of these other Blue Yeti, some of these people that make the battery generators, I guess you could say, and you could hook up solar panels to those and you could charge them and all that. I would love to see one of them kind of jump into this and really kind of create this ability to, like, for my situation, go on a camping trip, take their product, set up solar panels, charge the truck, and then recharge their charger, their battery backup, and just kind of keep myself going that way. That's something that I would like to see. But the capacity has to be there, right? They have to be able to store enough to actually give me some juice. It can't be a small amount. So,
I've been staring at those for a while, and the thing that I've been waiting, whoever makes it first, but it's also going to be expensive is a problem, but whoever makes it first, there needs to be an EV jerry can. There needs to be just a 5 gallon little thing, or, you know, comparative wise, that you can just like plug into the car and do a level 2 charge for, you know, 15, 20 minutes and then get you further down the road.
It'll be heavy. In fact,
nobody's
saying
portable. Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. That's why, you know, the energy.
Like 150 pounds.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, when you're comparing the energy density of a solid fuel versus energy density of a stored electrical source like what we have right now. I mean, it's going to be, nightmarishly huge. But that's why I like having my generator, and I need to see if I can put it in the bed of my back of my R1S.
But I guess where I'm kind of at with it is, would I rather spend $16,000 the range extender or $5,000 this portable, right? Chase said it's going to be probably heavy.
Yeah.
But something that I can take out of the bed, leave it in my garage for everyday, daily driving. But when I'm going to go on my camping trip, I'm able to put it in the bed of the truck. There's solar panels. There's this whole system now that I can take with me and have that security of knowing, hey, you know what? I need some extra range. I need some extra juice. And I have the ability to do that.
Here's the idea for your product, because I feel like lugging stuff in would be a pain in the butt. But if somebody were to sell a kit where it's something that goes onto like the trailer hitch, like the luggage rack for the back, that way you can carry like 10 or 20 stacks of solar panels to make an efficient, like sizable charge out of it. You know, and you can put out however many you want and whatever the price is, and then put some more of the electronics and transfer stuff into the back. And that's what, but yeah, it's always just going to be energy storage it just occupies a lot of space.
This is exactly it. And I've actually been looking at this for like energy backup for the house. It's just like a giant ass battery that you can run the house off of rather than a generator. But I've always thought, I was like, okay, spend a few $1,000 to have like a backup battery that either you can use for the house in emergency, or you take it with you on a camping trip and you have power. But this is, I never even thought about it until now. This could actually be just like that. It could be, you know,
$16,000 or $3,200 right there.
That's your jerry can right there.
Yeah.
Well, let's
can't carry it anywhere, but how do you put that into the car then, you know, for the average person?
Well, we're already down this rabbit hole. Let's do this, right? This one is a home backup, don't want to do that. You want to do the portable, right?
With the panels too.
Let's click on it. Let's configure this bad boy. Because see, this is what I'm talking about. This is 4 kilowatt, right? For $3,200, you're getting 4 kilowatts, 4,000 watt hours. We need more than that. That's not going
to
give us that.
But could that get you enough to?
An emergency, but what I'm looking for is something that, like,
it's like having 2 plugs from your house. So instead of 3 miles per hour, you're charging at 6.
I want something that when I'm at the campsite, it's going to give me, you know, 20 kilowatts, you know, in that charge session or something, you know, something like that. So,
where's the big daddy? Where's the 12 kilowatt out discharge?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to find here.
That's what I want
to
see.
It says it's configurable. How much is that up one? To 48.
Up to 25 kilowatts.
So, well, this one says expandable
48
capacity, 4 to 48 kilowatt.
I think their idea is that you can actually put them in an array. So you buy multiple and they'll stack. Yeah, 4 to 48. So you buy that 4 and you could stack them up to 48.
And you gang them together and then that outputs up to 12. Okay. That's why it says up to 12 kilowatts.
So, and in all fairness,
so though, then look at that. So then look at the Ultra. What's the Ultra? The middle one.
Well, that up that there. Shows I mean, it's like a
7.2 kilowatts. So it's literally the top of the range or the bottom of the range of level 2 charging. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's 30 amps at 220.
But if you have to like start to buy multiple ones of these and put them in an array, then you're actually justifying the $16,000 cost for the range extender.
Yeah. Yeah. But you have some type of portability.
Yeah, use it for the house if you need it.
I mean, right here, I mean, you're talking about $7,200 and you're getting 12 kilowatts.
So 10% more on the range of your Cybertruck
kilowatt output.
Yeah. That's about actually a little less than what we get from the house. So yeah, you're still trickling.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's my point is that we're not there yet, but that's what I would like to see. And it's going to happen.
I'll say this. Our friends overseas are probably enjoying the kind of thing that EcoFlow, like we're getting, you know, it's that usual, like Americans are always like the very, you know, the worst end of the technology spectrum, but also some of the coolest new ones as well. But it's like, I remember back in the late 90s, 2000s when like cell phones were terrible here and overseas, their phones were amazing. I mean, they were matrix level. And so, you see a company like EcoFlow, and I know that they're doing a fair amount of the engineering, but it's also a partnership with whoever they're getting their batteries from. And so, therefore, they have a dictated cost for a set number of years and whatever, and they're importing it. So they, you know, markup price or whatever. But I still think that there are some other companies out there that are offering more competitive and cheaper batteries than a brand name. And EcoFlow has become a brand name to the point where, okay, so I bet there are some non-brand names that do just as well, probably have the power you're looking for and less than whatever EcoFlow is charging. Obviously, the warranty becomes a question. And all of this compared to, well, Tesla's Tesla. So, I mean, you know, if you have a warranty with them, they're going to fix it or do whatever versus good luck getting somebody on the phone to help you fix the thing you bought on AliExpress.
However, I still feel like Tesla would be the one if the right person tweeted at Elon that they would make a Tesla Jerry can and call it a Jerry can.
They're going to charge an arm and leg for it, like, but yeah.
It'd be like $4,000, but if it gives you, you know.
It's called not a Jerry can.
Not a Jerry can, no. Yes.
Oh, well, hey, you know what? I'm going to clip this and then we'll post this. All of us will share this. If anybody's watching this, share that with Elon. So,
yeah, tell Elon. We need this.
Last thing, I know, Will, you wanted to talk about that cool little truck, but I'm running out of time here. My family's waiting for me to go eat dinner. But
same.
I want to get into the wrap of the week. We haven't done that in a while because it's been kind of slow. Not too many cool wraps coming that I've seen. So, but we have some. Now we're kind of getting a backlog. I think I have three now. So for the next 3 weeks, including
just speed,
we're going to have some. So
never mind.
But here is the. It's not really a wrap.
Interesting.
It's literally.
What were they going for? I think mid 80s in New York City. I see.
Yeah,
graffiti.
It's a graffitied Cybertruck, but
I see a penis.
Yeah. I mean, they went to town and they put all kinds of crazy stuff on here. But at the end of the day, it's kind of disregard penises or whatever. Just looking at it from the standpoint,
that's that part of it. Disregard penises.
That's going to be a sound drop now.
Look at this,
but. It's kind of cool, right? Like the fact that it's just there's a spray painted, graffitied Cybertruck. So that's our quote unquote wrap of the week.
Because I was asking the same question of like, was this on purpose? Like, did they do this on purpose? Or was this just like an accident?
I wonder
like
that
spray painting.
I wonder that.
But I think I've answered my own question because if you look at the tires, the tires are clean. So if this was like straight up street graffiti, like, you know, rambunctious kids, the tires would be spray painted as well. So I think they covered the tires and then they said, hey, do your worst,
go to town,
and the community showed up.
Exactly. So,
which is still cool. I like that.
Yeah, that's the wrap of the week. And with that, that's all we have for this week. Next week we'll talk about that other little truck, but that's all guys. So appreciate everybody that came into chat. All of you guys, Mark, Bill, Hugo, Jay, RP. I appreciate you giving us some good comments and conversation. So appreciate everybody. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you guys.
Peace.